AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Al-Qaeda, ISIS, names from the early part of this century. And now I welcome Bill Rajo, a senior fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, who's my guide on these matters because Al-Qaeda is as dangerous and more so than ever we recall from the battle of the early decades of the 21st century. We point to its sophistication, its location outside of the reach of the U.S., and its methodology online. I welcome Bill to help me a story that is in London now, but could easily be and will be eventually in all parts of the world. BBC reporting. The teenager accused of murdering three young girls in Southport, that's the north of England, has been charged with producing the poison ricin and possessing a military study of an Al-Qaeda training manual. Axel Ruda Kubana, 18, has been charged with production of biological toxin contrary to Section 1 of the Biological Weapons Act, 1974. Writes the BBC, this is British law. He has also been charged with possessing a PDF document of a kind likely to be useful to a person committing to or preparing an act of terrorism, contrary to Section 58 of the Terrorism Act 2000. Bill, a very good day to you. Axel Ruda Kubana is the son, not the only son, of Rwandan parents who emigrated to Britain legally and have worked there comfortably ever since. They raised their son to be a success, and now he's detained and charged with murder and terrorism. How did this happen? What does Al-Qaeda have to offer a teenager such as the 18-year-old Axel Ruda Kubana that turns him into a monster that led to a nationwide turmoil in the summer of 2024? Good evening to you, Bill.
Good evening, John. Yes, now to be clear, he's been charged with being in possession with an Al-Qaeda manual, but we haven't seen any evidence and I haven't heard any direct links to Al-Qaeda. Was he in communications? Did he travel to receive training? Very unlikely given his age, but not impossible. But the fact that he's in possession of that manual, and this attack is out of an Al-Qaeda and Islamic State playbook. Not just to kill someone and create, and I mean, look, this is a heinous crime, attacking, murdering, butchering children at a, you know, Taylor Swift dance party. I mean, it doesn't get any more evil than this. And it's just beyond that attack, the unrest that it created, the divisions within England that were created over this attack. That is just the effect that Al-Qaeda, that the Islamic State, that other jihadist organizations seek to achieve. It's almost the perfect attack. It isn't just the murder of individuals, but the disruption of society. What does Al-Qaeda have to offer? What does the Islamic State have to offer? You know, they have a message that is appealing to a certain subset of the population. In a way, they're the ultimate underdog. Yeah. And when you have a victory like Al-Qaeda and the Taliban did over a superpower in Afghanistan, it raises their voice. It gives them the ability to recruit individuals like this obscene murderer. Their goal, of course, is to it's not to conduct the terror attacks. That's their tactics. Their goal is to reestablish an Islamic emirate. And part of the terrorist attacks are used to weaken the West, to get them to drop the support of Western countries in the countries that they want to form their caliphate, within the Middle East and Africa, and even parts of, Spain was part of the caliphate. So was Sicily. But they also, I don't like to give them credit, but they have a cohesive message in this world that we live in is so confusing for youth. It's an evil message, but it's very coherent. And it's, again, one that does appeal to a small segment of the population. And it gives them a goal. It gives them a mission. It gives them a sense of belonging. And, look, John, I've argued from the very beginning of this war that one of our major failures, beyond the military failures and the political failures, is our failures to not address, and you want a real root cause of this problem, the religious justification given by these terror organizations, by Al-Qaeda, to carry out terrorist attacks. We don't go after their clerics and their proselytizers. There's people in England today who are known terrorist supporters and proselytizers who are walking the streets, who are able to preach their evil message to the youth of England. And until that changes, there will be more attacks like this going forward.
There are details here, Bill, that need explication. The attack was in daylight against little girls, and as Bill says, in a dance studio. Their moms were attacked too. There were several wounded. There was no attempt to get away. There was no attempt not to be seen. This was meant to be horror, and it was, with a knife. Would have been with a weapon in the United States, but weapons are very difficult to acquire in Great Britain. At the same time, I want to go to this mention of ricin. What is ricin, Bill, and where does that come from? The idea that an 18-year-old, whose parents are law-abiding and have traveled from Rwanda, and are known to be Christians, and he's been schooled and properly raised. Ricin? That is not a man with a knife. That's a man with a plan. What does it mean?
Yeah, ricin, it's something that could be manufactured if you have the knowledge, and maybe that's what this was in within this Al-Qaeda manual. Look, when I first saw the reports of the ricin, John, my initial reaction was, what is this, 2002? That was the attempted poison that was sent to members of Congress and other places that caused almost a complete meltdown post 9/11. I suspect that's what's within that manual. It's a chemical agent can be manufactured, I believe, from castor beans, and it's a deadly poison. And it's the fact that I really want more of this story. I want to know what was in that manual, and I want to know if he actually was able to manufacture it himself, or was he able to, or was did he have assistance in manufacturing that? The British government's holding on of the facts in this case has merely stoked public outrage. And the more the public knows and understands this, the better. Hiding the facts of this case does no one any good, and it just creates conspiracies and distrust within the government.
This is what we used to call lone wolf operation. I know there was a lot of controversy about that at the time. But Bill, if the pattern holds here, he was recruited online. He has a confessor somewhere. He's been convinced that he's a warrior. That I'm not saying of this of Ruta Cabana. I'm saying this of the murderer. We had knife incidents on trains in Germany. We had people running trucks into bazaars at Christmas time. Always lone wolf. What does that mean, Bill? Why did they use lone wolf? How did that in some way satisfy the public and yet not give us transparency?
Yeah, the idea of... really dislike this term. It's a term. So Al-Qaeda in late 2000s started to promote, telling individuals to, you don't have to come to the theaters of jihad. You don't have to go to Afghanistan or Iraq or Syria or Yemen or Somalia or North Africa or West Africa or the Sahel and all the places Al-Qaeda is fighting at the time and still is today. that you could do this from home. Take what you can and either, you know, send us resources, send us money, send us equipment, or go ahead and, you know, if you, whatever you can get your hands on to execute an attack, do it. But I dislike this term, John, because usually what you find in these cases is, as you said, there's some type of extraternal connection. Somebody is speaking to, he isn't just radicalized in a vacuum. He's either watching videos or perhaps going to a radical mosque or something to that effect, a friend. Somebody is probably talking him to convince him to conduct these attacks. And then, you know, you just don't, an Al-Qaeda manual doesn't just materialize out of nowhere. Who pointed him to that? How did he find that? It's an 18-year-old, you know, he's a young adult. I dislike calling 18-year-olds children because they're not, and they're not teenagers. They're adults in this world. But he's on the very young age of adult. It's very likely he was guided. So in one way or another, whether he was searching online, watched videos, look, Anwar al-Awlaki, who was an American who we actually killed in a drone strike in Yemen, he was a big supporter or promoter of this idea that, you know, terrorism analysts tagged as lone wolf. And I think what it's done is made people feel a lot better. Well, they're just doing this on their own. And so we can't do anything to stop these types of attacks. They just happen. And, you know, it's not really linked to the fight overseas. So it gives, I think, people, government officials, you know, a sense of security that their failures to pursue our enemies overseas isn't what's causing these domestic terror attacks from the so-called lone wolves.
Details needed on the Al-Qaeda-linked murders in Great Britain and the rice and manufacturing in Great Britain. We're going to ISIS now, also operating in ungoverned spaces like Al-Qaeda. Bill Rajo, Senior Fellow of Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. I'm John Bashman.